Let me try to explain the condition and how this event that I am to relate, how it took place previously, but the afternoon of Tuesday, December 9th, 1941, the Insular Guard commanding officer assigned a machine gun to me and suggested that I enlist 8 volunteers to man the machine gun squad. Early morning, after midnight, we were assembled out at the Plaza de España by command, and we were informed that there's information that Japanese are approaching the island. At this point, the commanding officer gave the battle position of the Insular Guard. I was to man the gun squad at the eastern side of the plaza. The second platoon of the Insular Guard was assigned another machine gun for the northern side of the plaza, and the third platoon was assigned, the first platoon was assigned the southern side of the plaza. These were battle stations that were where machine guns are to be manned. We only had 3. Now, we were informed to go back into headquarters and take some rest. I felt that before my seat got warm, we were called out again. This time, we were informed that we are to take our battle positions. I instructed my men, and we have discussed this earlier, and I asked them to follow me, and we went to the northern portion of the tennis court at the Plaza de España. At that point, at that spot, there was a little hill, a mound at the end of the tennis court. The deck of the court compared to the deck of the plaza or the general area of the plaza is about 12 or 13 inches. The court is higher. And I thought that that position would it'll give us...
Could we stop for just a moment?
Sound rolling. Camera?
Rolling.
All history, Mr. Cruz, take 50.
You were talking about the deployment of the troops on the east side.
At this time, we were informed to take our battle positions. I called my men to... with me to go to the eastern side of the plaza. We went to the tennis court area where there is some slight elevation of mount there between 12 and 13 inches above the regular ground of the plaza, and I thought that that would be some kind of protection for us where the machine gun can be placed. The other two machine gun positions went to their assigned area. Before my position was ready, I was not ready. The commanding officer came to me and indicated, "Cruz, change your position." I grabbed the machine gun, lifted it to my shoulder, and with my left hand, I grabbed a box of ammunition and faced my men and informed them to follow me, and I rushed from that area. I selected the northeastern corner of the Plaza de España and set my gun there. This area, there was a bush. I'm not too sure what the bush is. My recollection is that it is stamsun or floris rosa, more generally stamsun. It's a thick bush, very well manicured. It's thick, however, and where I place the gun, I have to cut branches with my bare hands so that I can place the barrel of the machine gun through that, through the opening that I was preparing. When I was satisfied that I was ready, my satisfaction is this. When it became ready, I said to myself, as long as I can roll the bullet on this road in front of the church and lift the tip of the building to the top of the building at the Katzon building, I felt that I would be able to, I would not allow anyone to enter the Plaza de España. By this time, I heard shots, voluminous shots, way up towards Isagana. At this particular moment, I felt that it's by the crossing of or the junction by Marine Drive and Route 8. Voluminous shots. Not too long after this, I saw a man running into the direction of the plaza from the San Nicolas side of the road, the one in to the north of the hospital. I saw him from a big distance. That morning, there was a moon. But if it were sun, about 8 or 9 in the morning, that's how high the moon was. It was fairly clear. I saw the man running, and he was running towards me, whitish in his appearance. So I said, there's no reason for me to fire. Now, the guy entered the, came to the plaza and found me and said, I told him, you know, this happens to be a friend of mine. His name is Ignacio Duenas. I said to him, well, why are you here? He said, the Japanese are trying to enter my house. They were pounding the building, the door of the house. I was downstairs sleeping, and that woke me up. However, I was able to run because the Japanese were busy shooting at a car that was passing. So I was able to run, and I'm here. Then you repeat, there are about 8 or 9 Japanese, 7 or 8, or 7 to 9 Japanese. Of course, that gave me heart, you know. I have a machine gun, and 7 or 8 or 9 Japanese, oh, in one sweep of this machine gun, I wouldn't allow them to enter here. Well, Ignacio, evident, I asked him not to stay here, go by way of the Tutuhan or Agana Heights. But the plaza is not safe. I kept minding my post. I called attention to Ben. I gave him my 45 and I said, Ben, you don't have to help me. Incidentally, when I came to this particular spot and I looked around, I saw that only one of the 8 volunteers followed me to this spot. It was Vicente Cruz Chatkola. I asked him, I said, Ben, you don't have to help me with the machine gun. I'll take care of that. You use this 45 when I am busy trying to replace the bullets. You keep the enemy busy by firing at them. I was satisfied that we were pretty clear in what our strategy would be. We waited. Soon I heard another volley, similar to this one, and it was very, very close. This particular group of volleys, the firing or the gun to me at my position, I felt that the bullet of the Japanese or the enemy was hitting the church. I noticed a man came running between the church and the plaza. He ran into the area where Ignacio came and found me. This was Roman Camacho. He's a very young man. He's a camera buck. I didn't ask him where he was or what. I just asked him to get away from here. It's very dangerous. If it's not for the boss being on my shoulder, I would not be here myself. I told this to both Vicente and Ignacio Duenas, because laying before all of this, before the first volleys, the volume of volleys, before I heard those, Lane came to me and said to me, Cruz, I'm going to issue an order that no one is to commence firing until they hear your gun. So I mentioned this to Camacho and Duenas, that if the boss is not just sitting on my back, I would not be here. Sincerely, I thought, why am I here? I was scared that there's no reason for me to remain here. But I remain, of course. There's nothing else I can do.
He has to reload the film.
Yeah, it runs 10 minutes on one magazine.
So I decided that perhaps he can help. So I asked him, if you don't wish to go away from here, I'm going to officially ask you to help me pass the bullet in the event that I need the bullet passed because I want to change ammunition. He laid down in the case of myself and Ben, we were certain that we laid down in a safe position. And this is strict instruction, of course, military instruction. Your head facing the line of fire and your tail or your feet away from it. And Roman lied down, his head very close to the, under the stanchion, his head but very close to the tripod of the machine gun. I didn't, of course, inform him to do otherwise. It's one mistake that I readily that I was sorry for. Now we waited in silence. I knew they were close. Not too long after this, I heard the sound of metal hitting together. In my judgment, it has to be water canteen and a bayonet. The sound is something like that. So I got myself ready. Now, I have decided that when I'm ready to fire, I would only start when there are a lot of people who come out from an area before I start firing. And at the same time, I have decided that I would fire the gun only in short bursts, and one to the left and to the right, like this. Now, in waiting here in silence, I was wondering whether I could, but that was my decision, to fire in short bursts only. When I heard that sound, I maintained that they were right there, so I became extremely ready. Of course I was. Then I saw them start coming out. When I was satisfied with the number, it's a fairly large number. I can't say 15 or 20 or what, but it's a large number. I'm satisfied, and I started firing. I squeezed the trigger and swung the machine gun. When I squeezed the trigger again, I noticed that only a few bullets came back out. I said, doggone it, I didn't accomplish what I wanted. I wanted to shoot in short bursts. I unloaded and reloaded the machine gun and resumed firing again. This time I was certain that it's just brr, 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 brr. I kept doing that. Then I felt that as long as my gun is working, nobody can come into this plaza. I heard Vicente on my red. He said, Pete, they hit me. I said, Ben, there's nothing I can do, Gatsu. Crawl away. I kept firing. Again, as I said, that's what I was doing. I kept firing in short bursts. I cannot recall how many exchanges of ammunition I made. But soon after this, it's after a while, but not very long, I heard on my left Roman indicating to me, Pete, they shot me too. I said, Roman, there's nothing I can do. Please crawl away from here. Go by way of Agana Heights or Tutuan, but go away from here. When I wanted to change the ammunition, I got up and tried to dislodge the ammunition drum from the machine gun. I was not able to. I got up on my hands and knees and straddled the machine gun frame with my knees, and even if I can break it, I'd break it and put another. Then I heard ceasefire and retreat. I did not just drop the gun, dip everything and started running. I felt that if I can reach by zigzagging the end of the other side of the kiosk, I would be safe. I zigzagged that way. When I got there, the Japanese continued firing. Big volumes of firing. I ran from there again into headquarters. I was protected by this kiosk. When I got into headquarters, my disappointment was this. I found only 6 or 7 of us, including myself, Vicente, who is wounded. His hand was almost completely severed. Vicente Sadgalov and Lane. That's the only number of people that were in headquarters. I never counted. I felt that no more than 7, no less than 6, maybe 5, maybe no less than 5. Now, Lane told us that we are going to surrender. So he went back out and evidently went to one of the trucks, because I heard the sound, long sounds, from one of the cars that was parked around the area. 3 long sounds. I said to myself, that brave man, volumes and volumes of firing from the Japanese, still he went out to the car and sounded that. It must be to indicate that we have stopped firing and we were ready to surrender. When he came back in, he called us and he led us out from our headquarters after throwing all of the equipment that we had towards the door. I said to myself, there's no use doing this disarming because no one can see us. The Japanese are still screaming at by Katsun and Oishis. Then Lane led us out to the just in front of, under the porch of the Governor's Palace, and waited there. We didn't have long to wait because the Japanese started screaming and yelling and running into the plaza. We moved out to meet them. I was so scared, I thought, it's my last breath. The Japanese surrounded us. We were not harmed. The only thing, they came rushing to us with their bayonets fixed on their guns and yanked their bayonets in front of us, of course. In my case, they yanked my trousers off, indicating, and I readily understood that they wanted me to disrobe. This is what we did, we disrobed. Nothing was left but our shorts, skivvy shorts. We were not harmed. Nothing was done to us. But I was afraid that we would not have been killed. Of course, my feeling became better. Now, by this time, the Japanese asked us to follow them and brought us to the one section of the plaza in front of the palace, out in the Plaza de España, and we were formed in a single line, east to west. I was at the western end of the single line, and we placed Vicente in front of, his head was in front of my foot. This was still very dark when this machine gun was placed by the Japanese in front of us, facing our direction, of course. And I don't know, but I was so scared, I didn't even want to talk. I didn't even want to move my head or anything like that, because I was afraid that they would just kill us. But nothing happened so far. Then I noticed something. A group of Japanese, more than what I've seen before, they came around and spread a big American flag in front of us. Now the flag was stretched. We were on a single line, as I said. I was at the western end of the line. But the flag was spread in front of us, between us and the Palazzo. And the Japanese, with guns and flashlights, were flashing their light down to the flag. And I said to myself, this is communication between the ground troops and the plane flying overhead that Guam has surrendered. It is my opinion that this is the time, in my judgment, that we surrendered to the Japanese soldiers, and I believe that that is the time of surrender. This was still dark. The Japanese were using the flashlight to indicate to the flying plane that Guam has surrendered. Now, we waited at that place in the plaza until daylight. Of course, there were a lot more Japanese around the plaza. They're all over by now, all over the plaza. And soon, some people were brought in by the Japanese soldiers to our line at the plaza. By this time, daylight already, I heard the Japanese mention the names of three familiar people. One is Sawada, the other one is Okada, another one is Shimizu, and Shinohara. These are the names mentioned by the Japanese. I learned of this, and these were nationals who were Japanese nationals who were on the island when the bombing started, and they were placed in confinement at the Guam Police Department. We call the house, the jailhouse of Guam. They were in there. On daylight, I noticed that these people were released from the that's it.
All history, Mr. Cruz. We are back to roll number 9223. Take 52.
Can you talk about Captain McMillan okay. And how he came into the picture?
By this time, I noticed that the Japanese surrounded were scattered all over around the Plaza de España. And once in a while, they brought some people in. At this time, we noticed, at least I noticed, the governor was brought into the plaza by two Japanese soldiers, the governor, Governor McMillan, and two of his aides. I recall distinctly the names of these two. One is second in command, a Navy commander, Giles, I think, is the name, and the other one is the what was supposed to have been the chief of police on the island of Guam, a Marine lieutenant. I call him Captain Todd. They are in skivis and t-shirts when they were brought out into the plaza. Shortly after this, and these three people were not brought to our group, to the section where we were. They were placed just directly east of the, in front of the palace, and just to the side of the plaza, but not in our group. Of course, they were officers. I realized that that's the reason for it. Then we noticed, I saw one of our group, one of the members of our group, Angel Flores, approached the plaza. I noticed that two Japanese soldiers were behind him with their bayonets fixed. Angel Flores was brought into the plaza by these two Japanese soldiers, way past where the governor was standing, and brought into our group and was placed in front of me. Vicente was the closest to me, and Angel has already been bayoneted. I noticed when he laid down, his face up, his back was on the ground, I noticed that feces is coming off the wound just above his belly button. His wound is very severe in my judgment. In the case of Vicente, it is just only the arm being held up by a small amount of skin. Otherwise, it would have fallen off. Then later, two others were brought into the plaza, two other members of the guard, but they were from the other direction, from the west of the plaza. These two were by identical names. I recall Jose Menu in both cases. One is from Inarahan, the other one is from Asan. Their wound may look severe. One of them is like, it reminds me of a pig that you have just slaughtered and cut the hind leg, the meat of the hind leg, and it spreads open, you know. It's just like that. One of them, the bigger one, has that kind of wound. The other one is less severe. But those are the only people who... So there were a total of four injured in front of us. From here, we were kept until the group became about over 50 of us. By 10 o'clock, or just before 10, we were directed to have these wounded carried by a paddy wagon, a pickup truck, to the hospital. And we were allowed to go into our headquarters to be the first prisoner of war camp on the island. We got in there just before 10 o'clock in the morning. That's it.
Good, thank you.
Sound rolling.
Camera?
Rolling.
Oral history for World War II, take 92-26, Mr. Cruz, take 53.
On December 10th, 1941, we had commemoration events in honor of the historical events that happened 50 years ago, in which the Japanese were able to attend a ceremony. Could you tell us how you felt about that and a little bit about that ceremony?
About the 50th anniversary commemoration of December 10, 1941. I was grateful that this had taken place, of course. But in my judgment, I still am claiming that something that is specifically honor for specific individuals still has not been done. That's the only thing that I have wished since the Japanese occupation of the island until this day. The Liberation 50, I felt, of course, very grateful for recognizing the events that happened and the participation of the Insular Force Guard there. Now, as to my feelings generally for the 50th anniversary, you know that I have felt that if anything needs to be done for correcting, let me re-emphasize the word correcting, the false statements which became part of the history of Guam. I could not, in my judgment, allow, and not being heard about my position in relation to that commemoration. The first instant when the honor was given to Angel Flores, I don't envy the honor being given. What I was not satisfied with is the honor given Vicente Cruz Tatgualaf. And up to the time of the 50th liberation, although it has been mentioned only by me, I believe. I am not too sure that people have really accepted the fact that what happened to Vicente is not what the Navy honored him for. And the Guam legislature's resolution honoring Vicente is false. The thing didn't happen. That's my biggest concern up to now. I am repeating this now, Rose. I'm willing to come out anytime about what the Japanese did here, and especially what we have commemorated the occasion for, the participation of the Insular Force Guard.
Rolling.
Oral history, Mr. Cruz. Take 54.
In relation to the specific ceremony up at Pagat, that is the presentation by the people of Guam through efforts of the Governor's Office and Veterans Affairs Offices and Veterans Group. The affair in Pagat is such that, in my own judgment, in my own feeling, I was happy to participate in that event because of my personal feeling and my personal experience. I have not experienced any atrocity myself by the Japanese in all of their occupation of the island. I have not witnessed personally atrocities that happen on the island. Everything in relation to that is hearsay for me. My experience is extremely fortunate. I'm extremely a fortunate man. Now, I know that some people do not, and I have heard this over the radio, some people are blaming us who participated in the forgiveness of the Japanese nation in relation to their activities or what they have done to the island of Guam. And because of that, I attempted to discuss this item with the radio station KUAM at the Chamorro Hour. I heard over that radio that some people are blaming or just unhappy because we who participated in the affair, they're asking, who are we to dispense or to speak for the people of Guam and forgive the Japanese? That's the criticism I heard over the radio. So I attempted to discuss this with that radio station, and I was fortunate, and Sustamoru allowed me at one point. And I'm only saying this to the people of Guam and to the public. I was asked for that occasion to take part in that ceremony. And my response was that I have never blamed the Japanese as an individual, any Japanese as an individual. I've never blamed Chamorros from Saipan who have participated in atrocities also to the people of Guam. I am saying that these people are not responsible for that war. And my intention of forgiveness is because of my own feeling. I'm not representing anybody in Guam. I'm only representing myself. I have forgiven these people whom I have engaged in that fateful battle at the Plaza de España.